good. And he will, as he said. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, lo, the last thing he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. All right, go back to Matthew's gospel with me. And today, and it is called today, we will be with him in paradise. Our story this morning is of some women who came looking for something, looking for someone. And they looked into the place where they thought he should be and found it empty. They looked into an empty place and went away filled. The story of our Lord's resurrection. John wrote this in the Revelation. He wrote what he heard and saw. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. So that is our subject. He is our subject, a risen Lord. All the hopes, all the hope, all the peace, all the comfort, all the assurance of saints, of believers, depends on this. That he who was crucified and died arose, and now he ever lives. And he said, and because he said, because I live, ye shall live also. You see, all our hope depends on this one, that he does indeed live, first and last, Alpha and Omega. This is why the Apostle Paul preached. The Apostle Paul brought this up nearly every single recorded public message in the book of Acts. If you'll read his preaching throughout the book of Acts, nearly every time he opened his mouth, he talked about Christ who arose, the risen Christ. This was what Peter preached at Pentecost, didn't it? A risen Lord. Well, look at it with me, this story, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath. That just really struck me the first time. We just looked at how he laid in the grave on the Sabbath day. And now here it plainly says, it's the end of the Sabbath. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, or he is about to dawn, toward the first day of the week. First. He was the last, now he's first. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Brother Gabe pointed this out to me last week. We read this. He said, did you notice how the Lord, how God's Word says, mentions Mary Magdalene. Keeps mentioning Mary Magdalene first. And it says, and the other Mary. The other Mary. You know, one of the other Marys was the Virgin Mary. Used to be the Virgin Mary. But the Lord mentions Mary Magdalene first. the merciful Lord and Savior of sinners. And see, that's why he came. He said, I am come to seek and to save the they that are sick. He makes first mention. And the one he first appeared to was a chief of sinners. That's good news right there, isn't it? Mary Magdalene, proving to us once again that this man receiveth sinners. He's a friend of sinners, Savior of sinners. Well, they came to see the sepulcher. They came to view the grave. That's what we do. And there's nothing wrong with that. They loved the Lord. My pastor, I heard him preach my brother's funeral, and heard it again on tape recently. And he reminded us all that though this body we live in is not really us, it's not really us, it's a tabernacle. However, it's all we ever know, isn't it? And so that's why we don't desecrate the bodies of our loved ones, and that's why there's nothing wrong with visiting the grave. And they're not there, but that's the body that we held and held us, that we spoke to. That's the one we saw. We're flesh. The Lord knows our frame. Knows our plan. And that body, we're going to get back in it. That same body. Yeah. Only changed. Changed. So that's a good reminder. They came to view at least the sepulcher. They had no hopes of viewing the body. And they came to see the sepulcher, as we do. We're prone to do, view the grave. In verse 2, it says, behold, there was, or had been, before they came, there was a great earthquake. For this is what caused the earthquake. The angel of the Lord. This is Gabriel. That's who this is. This is the one who came to announce to Mary and to Zechariah and Elizabeth of the birth of the Christ child and his forerunner. This is the one God sent first, and now he's come in the last, at the last. He announced the birth of the Christ. Now he's announcing the rebirth, if you will, or the resurrection of the Christ. The angel of the Lord. Not the only one, but this is the one the Lord sent, a chief messenger. And his coming, his very coming, this angel of the Lord, his descent from heaven was so great, was so powerful, that here's mere dissension or coming, and to roll back that door, his landing upon earth, and that door it was a great door, big stone. It would take a dozen of us men to roll this stone over that door. That's what it took. 10 or 12 men. And Pilate was wanting to make that sure. He didn't just put 2 men there. If there was going to be a bunch of disciples come get that body and take it away, there's going to have to be at least a bunch of soldiers to keep them from doing it. So he sent at least 10 or 12, Kelly. 10 or 12 strong men. And it took at least that many to roll this door, this stone over the door and cover whatever. Well, when one angel, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came and hit this planet and took by himself, one angel, mind you, took by himself, rolled that stone away from that door, and boom, it hit the ground. Boom, and he sat on it. And there he sat. There had been a great earthquake. One angel had set foot on the earth. Just one. And it says his countenance, it describes this angel, verse 3. His countenance was like lightning. It's like lightning. Just blinding in its brilliance and its power. It's lightning hit a tree right in front of our house, about 50 feet from our house. Big old poplar tree. And I was in the house. I wish I'd have seen it. I was looking out the back door, and it happened out the front door. Maybe it had blinded me. I don't know. But it was. I thought it hit the house. And sure enough, it was so powerful. It just shredded that tree, and it ran underground into my garage and bursted the concrete in my garage. Big hole out of the floor in my garage. Lightning. It says this angel, his very countenance, everything about him was like lightning. God's not given to figures of speech. This heavenly being was that brilliant and amazing. Countenance. His raiment, white as snow. Pristine white. Whiter than a fuller could make. And it says in verse 4, for fear of him, all 10 or 12 of those men, those keepers, those big, strong Roman soldiers, all 12 or however many there were, it may have been more, were trembling all over, violently trembling, and were lying on the ground like dead men. Their faces had turned as white as the angel's clothing, just like dead men, just shaking violently on the ground. Now, this is just an angel. You see, that little petty prince Pilate had sent his biggest and best men, remember, to guard the tomb. He set a watch. He made it sure, all right. Nobody's getting in, but somebody's coming out. That no one would come and steal the body of Jesus. My, you just don't know, do you? You just don't have a clue. And he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Sent your best men to guard this. I'm going to send one angel. In the end of the earth, the Lord talks about sending four angels to the four corners of the earth to wipe it up. Just four. Well, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Pilate sent his watch there to make it sure. Make it sure as you can. And they tried. And when it was time, in the fullness of time, just like the first time Christ came, when it was time, after 3 days, according to Scripture, the dawn of the first day, the end of the Sabbath, the dawn of the first day, a new beginning, the same one who spoke thousands of years before and said, "Let there be light," the same God. Are you listening? The same God, thousands of years before there was anything, when darkness covered the face of the deep, the same God who said, "Let there be light." And that glorious orb went into the skies, the sun, to lighten and brighten and illuminate all things. The same God spoke again concerning this same darkness that had covered the face of this earth. The same God said to his angel, "Roll back the door. The sun's about to shine. The Son of Righteousness has arisen with healing in his wings." The earth's never seen anything like this. That holy thing. And so, the angel of the Lord, that chief messenger, came with a mighty condescension. And we tried our best to describe him, his countenance, his powerful person, and his presence struck fear in the mightiest men known to man. Struck absolute fear. Now, as I said, this is just an angel. What of his Lord? Now, I guarantee you, people. See, he rolled back the stone, this angel. He has come. He's the forerunner of the one coming out. Like John. John was the greatest man born of woman. He said, "I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. There cometh one mightier than I." And that angel would have said the same thing, Nancy. "There cometh one. I look like lightning.
His countenance is as the sun shineth in its strength. And he wrote, I know this happened. I know this happened. It doesn't say it, but I know it. That angel, when he rolled back that door and out came his Lord, he hit the dirt. That angel, whose countenance was as lightning, he hit the dirt before this one mightier than him. Well, these men just trembled in the presence of this angel. What of the Lord himself? And this angel, you see, what the Lord did, he set this angel down. The Lord came out of the tomb. I don't know where he went. He went somewhere. And he had this angel sitting. What's he done? The Lord set his watch. The Lord set his watch. Do you know the Scripture says he giveth his angels charge over you? I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this, okay? This one angel, the Lord sent him to set watch over that tomb. Nobody's getting in now. Robin, nobody's getting in now except by divine permission, right? And the Scripture says he's given his angels charge over you, set watch over you. The Lord said, make it as sure as I can. Make them as sure. I want you to turn with me. I hadn't planned this, but 2 Kings chapter 6. Maybe somebody hadn't seen this before. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a wonderful story. Yeah, there it is. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha was a prophet. The king of Syria was out to get him. King Assyria knew that Elisha was the reason, the Lord using Elisha was the reason why Israel was safe. And anyway, King Assyria sent his men on chariots and horses to get Elisha. One man, mind you. Look at it. And he said in verse 13, go find out where he is, spy where he is, and that I may send and fetch him. Go get him and bring him here. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a great host. How many? A great host. 1,000 soldiers, maybe. Huh? Look at it. Said they came by night and compassed the city about. And the servant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, his house servant, a butler or whatever, whoever he was. It says he came out early in the morning. Servant rose early and gone forth, went outside to gather some wood or some water. And it says, behold, a host compassed the city, both with chariots, horses and chariots. And his servant, you know, he ran back into the house. Oh, master, alas. Means he was scared to death. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? Kind of like the Israelites of old, wasn't it, when they were up against the sea and bound in and the chariots behind them. What shall we do? And Elisha, like Moses, said, stand still. Look at him. Verse 16. Here's what he said. Fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. But I don't see him. Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and look, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about one man. One man. Fear not. Huh? Don't you, Stan, don't you wish we could get a hold of this? Fear not. What gives us fear? What causes us fear? The slightest thing. Oh, my. One angel. One angel. Well, the angel, back in our text, the angel answered You know, this is the way God's Word speaks. He answered. Well, nobody asked him anything. Well, he knew what they were thinking. He said, God looketh on the heart. They were fearful. The angel answered and said unto the women, these women. Now look at this. He said unto the women, he spoke to the women, fear not ye. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Fear not ye. The Lord leaving no doubt that he's talking to these women. You. I'm talking to you. He was, this, the Lord, the angel of the Lord, had these strong men, these mighty men, these noble soldiers and all that, held at bay. Had them on the ground, trembling, shaking, fearful, like dead men. And he held out his hand to those poor women, those poor little old women, and says, you, I'm talking to you. Fear not, you. I'm talking to you, not them. They need to be afraid. Not you. Fear not ye. I know you. That you're seeking this one who was crucified. I know you. Why do I know you? Because the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord has a people, and he sent me to you. Are you getting a hold of this? Grab me. Fear not. That little word, Jeanette. Ye. Who, me? Yes, ye. Not them. You. Who are you looking for? Who'd you come to see? Christ crucified. Then this is for ye. Huh? Who'd you come to see this morning? I thought about our music program, you know. It's pretty good. We sing songs. We don't have a choir and all. I thought, if people come here, they've got to come for one reason. It's not for the music. Gabe, no reflection on you, but we just don't major on music, do we? What do we major on? What do we do here? We preach Christ, Paul said. Christ and him crucified. I know you. You seek him, don't you? This is why you came. Yes, you. Fear not. Who? Me? Yes, you. Nancy. Mary, the other Mary. Yeah, you, the other Mary. Fear not ye. Is this why you came here? Then fear not. Fear not. You have nothing and no one to fear. Would you listen to this? We have nothing and no one to fear. Would I, Lord, let me listen to this. We have nothing, and no one to fear. Nothing. Thou shalt not be afraid for the pestilence by day, the arrow by night, the terror by night. Our Lord kept saying this, Barbara, more than anything else to his disciples. Fear not. Why are you so fearful? I'm the Lord. Fear not. Fear not him which killeth the body, and after that he hath no more that he can do. Besides, he didn't kill you anyway. I, the Lord, I kill, I make alive, I wound. Oh, I fear AIDS. Why? Are you living a lascivious life? Then fear it. But if not, don't fear that thing. Huh? I wound, he said. I heal. I, the Lord, do all these things. Fear me. Fear me. And if you fear me, there's nothing and no one you need to fear. And if you do fear me, you'll find out that I love you in this perfect love. You see, my love's perfect. It'll cast out all fear. I thought about our grandbaby. Don't think of her often, you know. But I thought about her. Honestly, I think of her every waking moment. Many and I wake up and I say, what are you thinking?
He said, you know what I'm thinking about. And but I thought about her, and you know, I thought about my own daughter this way, but when you get older, you just, you know, get more mature, and things, you understand things a little more, what's valuable. But anyway, I thought about her, and I thought, and Gabe can concur, and these other, if I could do anything for her, anything, I would. If I could relieve all of her suffering, wouldn't you? It grieves me when she cries. Not because it's getting on my nerve, but because I grieve for her. I don't want her to suffer. I hate that she's suffering. If I could eliminate that, if I could relieve that, if I could make her safe from all harm, I would. Wouldn't you? Jeanette, how about your grandbabies? Huh? Wouldn't you? If you could, but you can't. God can. And He does. Fear not. What if somebody was out to harm your child? Would you not lay down your life? Would you not do everything within your power to protect that child? Certainly you would. God, Christ, and we're going to see this, He said, all power. This is the last. He said this in the beginning, and He's going to say this in the end. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. That's our Lord. Living, reigning, ruling Lord. Fear not. Fear not. I know you. You seek Christ and Him crucified. And the Lord sends His gospel angel to all that look for Christ crucified. You know that? He sends His messenger. Oh, yeah, He is an angel. The Lord wrote to the preachers in the churches in the Revelation. He called every one of them an angel, didn't He? To the angel, an angel of mercy, an angel, a messenger of God, no less than Gabriel himself. What's his message? If he's an angel from God, he's got one message. He's risen. Fear not ye. And I say ye. The Lord said ye. You who seek Christ and Him crucified, the Lord says, fear not ye the law. Fear not ye the law. Oh, but I break it. But it's been kept. Don't fear it. You need not fear something that's been fulfilled, right? Have you ever feared, you ever worried about whether or not you're breaking the law? Oh my, there have been times, I'm trying to think of an illustration, but we're building our house, you know. The building, Franklin County Building Inspector is one of the most powerful men on earth, you know. Right, Sam? And when he's coming to inspect, I'm getting on a bad subject here, honey. When he's coming to inspect this little Hitler, buddy, if he doesn't like it, you got to please him, don't you? Every jot and tittle, every nail, don't you stand? And you fear, is everything right? Is everything right? What about the law of God? Law of God looks on the heart, demands it shall be perfect to be accepted. Christ said, John, fear not. The angel of the Lord, the true preacher of the gospel says, fear not. You fear the law? Don't need to. It's been fulfilled. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone. Oh, but I've broken. I'm the worst. You're at the top of the list. He came for the chief of sinners, the chief lawbreakers. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. All manner of sin shall be forgiven. That's good news, isn't it? Fear not. Don't fear the law. Don't fear God's wrath. All I believe is going to cast me out.
because I'm such a sinner. I'm such a poor excuse for a believer. What do you reckon Simon Peter thought? Let's call up old Simon Peter as a witness to this. Okay? Simon, are you a good example of a faithful, believing Christian? Oh, I denied the Lord. I'm absolutely ashamed of myself. What's your hope, Simon? And he said, I will in no wise cast out him that cometh to me. Christ said, I will in no wise. All the Father giveth me shall come to that. That's why you're here. But you wouldn't have come. He wouldn't have come if the Father hadn't given you to Christ. He wouldn't have come. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here to seek Christ and Him crucified had not the Father drawn you with cords of love, had not the Father loved you. He sent you here to see Christ crucified. That's who He sent you here to see. Have you seen Him? Have you heard His voice? Yeah, but He's going to cast me out. Well, listen again. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Have you come to Christ? Yes, yes I have. How? Sinner. Is that how you came in the beginning? Yes, it is. But now what? Hold the beginning of your confidence. Steadfast to the end. Come the same way. How? A sinner. To whom coming all the days of your sinful life, come to Christ and say, here I am, just as I am, without one plea. But when you died for me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, under no circumstances, for any reason whatsoever, cast him out. And if I was Pentecostal, I'd say, somebody say amen. Oh, my. God's wrath. Don't fear it. It's been poured out. It's been expended. The rod has been broken across the back of my Savior. But there is no more rod for the back of God's people. You fear your sins. Your sins are going to find you out. No, sir. It says the iniquity of Israel shall be sought and it won't be found. If you're more fit than that man that took that scapegoat out to put it away, then you can find your sin. But I don't reckon you are. Christ is that man, that fit man. He is that scapegoat. You see, my sins, your sins have been laid on the head of your scapegoat, and God Himself led him as far as the east is from the west with our sins and put them away. And they're not going to find you out. There is therefore now no. Is this the best message you ever heard or what? It's the same message you've always heard. No different. No different. Don't fear angels. Don't fear devils. You know this angel, have you ever thought about this? This was just an angel. And John on the Isle of Patmos fell at the feet of an angel. You remember that? John fell at the feet of this glorious another angel, whose apparently his countenance was like lightning, and his garment as the snow. And who was that? That angel. You remember what was said? The angel said, "Don't worship me." Then, "Don't worship me." He said, "I'm of your brethren, your fellow brethren." Who was it? It may have been Stephen. He didn't recognize him. He was a glorious being, but not to be worshipped. Don't fear angels. Some do, you know. They worship angels more than Christ Himself. And don't fear devils. Don't fear devils. They're on a chain. They're on a chain. You know, God gives them a little season. The Scripture says a little season. Just a little season. He's got them in this earth. They're God's devils, though. Mandy, you asked me if I'm conscious of people listening to this on sermon audio. Man, that's a good question. I told her, no, I'm not. I rarely think of it because I'm preaching to you. And I don't adjust anything I say accordingly at all. But every now and then it comes up. I think about it. Who's going to listen to this? And I hope they do. But devils are God's devils. Now, somebody's going to take that and run with it. Somebody's going to abuse that. But I don't care. Those that seem it to be something, but what they are, no matter to me. They're going to take this and abuse it. But they're God's devils. I'm not charging him with sin, and I'm just simply saying what Scripture says. They must give an account. They must answer to the Lord of angels and devils. They can only do what he allows them to do to fulfill his purpose. No more. No more. And they're on a chain. They're on a chain. I love that story, don't you, of Pilgrim Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, where he's walking down that road and he sees ahead of him two lions, two roaring lions. Satan is as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. It's not possible for him to devour God's people. It's not possible. But old Pilgrim, he was getting ready to go down that straight and narrow way. He was straight and narrow. And on either side was a roaring lion, just all scaring him to death. And the closer he got, Mac, the closer he got, he looked. And they were on chains. They could only come so far. No further. And he squeezed on by. And they didn't touch him. And he thought, what was I worried about? God's devil. Some people are more afraid of the devil than they are. Well, they ought to be. Their God's not as powerful as the devil. Mine is. The devil is a created being. Well, and I've got to go on. Got to go on. So the angel said, fear not ye. Certainly don't fear men. Don't fear men. Fear not ye. Fear not. Look at verse 6 now. He said, I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Oh, how often does the Scripture say, according to the Scripture, how that Christ died according to the Scripture, or that the Scripture might be fulfilled. How often does it say that? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. When God Almighty wrote all this down, before it ever happened, it was as good as done. Dictum. Factum. He said, I've spoken it. I'll do it. Write it down. So let it be written. So let it be done. Good as done. It was so certain and sure God wrote it all down, the end from the beginning. He declared it. Wrote it all down in a book, closed it, wrapped it up and sealed it to the end of time. And then they're going to open it, and every jot and tittle has, is, and shall come to pass. That's how certain it is. God's spoken and written word. As he said, as Scripture said, Scripture said 1,000 years before this happened, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is what Peter preached at Pentecost. He quoted that, Psalm 16:10. He said, David's in the tomb. You go looking for bones of David, you'll find them. You go looking for the bones of the Son of David, you won't find them. This is a he of whom the Scripture said that he will not see corruption. And as the Lord said over and over and over to his disciples, didn't it? Over and over and over for 3.5 years, he kept telling them, the Son of Man must suffer. The Son of Man. Ought not Christ to suffer? Yes, the Son of Man must suffer. And he will go, I'm going to Jerusalem and be delivered into the hands of sinful men and will be crucified and buried. But the third day, I will rise again. He kept saying this, as he said. And the angel said, he is not here. This is all angels do, is repeat what the Lord has said. He is not here. He is risen. Just like he said. Can you count on the Lord? Can you rest your soul? Can you rest your family? Can you rest everything, all of your future, all of your hope, all of your fear on the Lord Jesus Christ, the sure foundation? Yes! He cannot lie. It's as He said. Everything. Now, He is not here. And I thought about this. I want to tell all that truly seek Him. I want to tell all those religious people out in the world, and try to, that He is not here. He's not here. The living. The angel in another gospel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Remember that? Don't come to this tomb, a grave, looking for a living person. He's not here. He's not here. The living Lord is not here. Don't look for the living Lord in dead ceremonies. You know why we don't go through all these ceremonies? I don't dress up like an old priest years ago and go through all these ceremonies and chant a language that's dead. Latin, nobody speaks Latin anymore. Nobody speaks that. We might want to go through an old Latin liturgy, maybe throw water all over you and go through all this stuff that's a bunch of dead, and they don't have this old, everything needs to be old, I guess, to be right. An old stone building, you know, it's cold and dark and dead. Don't you love that story of Martin Luther? He's crawling up those steps, kissing those steps of what's supposed to be blood spots. The Lord walked up the step. Story has it, Martin Luther, a monk, Roman Catholic monk, in those old damp, dark dungeons, stone buildings, going through all that old ceremony and traditions and darkness even as others. He's kissing those blood spots, trying to appease the Lord, trying to make the Lord pleased with Him. Look at me, I'm sacrificing my... Look at what I'm doing. He's kissing those blood spots. And bless God. God, all but God, rich in mercy. God's going to use this one little monk to turn the world upside down. God Almighty sent a sunlight, ray of light into the heart of that fellow. He'd been reading this book for years. Old Martin Luther had been reading it for years, could quote it. Read verses like in Habakkuk, "The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by. He read that, didn't have a clue what it meant. And he's kissing those blood spots, trying to appease God. And God Almighty came like turning us. He said it like this bright light coming up. The story goes, Martin Luther tells it, that he jumped up right there and ran out of that dark, dead stone temple into the glorious sunlight, justified by faith. And from that day forward, look to Christ. Oh, He's not here. He's not here. He's not in all this dead religion today, folks. I know it looks good and sounds good and, you know, and all that. He's not here. He's not in that stuff. He's risen. He's ascended. He's seated. He's exalted. He's reigning and ruling, expecting His enemy, a living Lord among living saints. Not dead saints, living saints. And look at this. This angel grants permission to these poor women to see proof. He said, "He's not here, He's risen. As He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come see." And as we said, they went in. They went in the tomb and looked. A little while later, you know, Peter comes running in. And it doesn't tell us here, but it says that his grave clothes were laid to one side and a napkin about his head. Folded over here to the side, as someone who's in no hurry, calmly and control himself, lays down these old garments, laid down, got up, walked out.
they went into that tomb, and what did they see? They went in that tomb, and what did they see? They went into the old, dark, damp tomb, used to be. What did they see? Nothing. Nothing. Just as he said. They looked in, and it was empty. They looked into that tomb. Now listen to this. You'll get a blessing. I'm not going to quit until you're blessed. All right? They looked into that tomb, a grave. It was a grave they were looking into, wasn't it? And that place was meant to be morbid. It was meant to be dark. I thought, how could they see what was in there? I know. The Lord illuminated it. They could see clearly. It was meant to be sad. Wait a minute. Supposed to be sad, dark, morbid, damp. And it was empty. I believe it was light. They could see everything clearly. I believe it smelled sweet. Somebody didn't smell like death, mind you. It smelled sweet. A sweet smelling savor, not death. You reckon? And it was gloriously, marvelously empty. Nothing there. It's just nothing there. There's nobody there. Nothing and nobody in that old place of death. And here's what I'm trying to say. Is that the Lord said, and He says it better than I can try. He says, the Lord came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How did He do it? The empty tomb. You need not fear it. He's not here. And whoever you put in that tomb, whoever you put in that tomb, we put a few in, haven't we? We put a few in there that you love, people you love. We put them in there. Those that trusted Christ, those that came believing and died in the faith, we put them in the tomb. But they're not there. it's not sad. No, it's, you know, we're going to miss them. That's sad, but they're not there. They're risen, as He said. He that liveth and believeth Me will never die. You believe this? Who said that? He who cannot lie. They're not there. They're not there. They're risen. And I love, you know, Dave, you love that where it says they're coming with Him. When He comes back, final full proof that everybody that trusted in Christ is safe in Christ, because they're all coming with Him. Every one of them, Joe and Linda and Becky and Evelyn and Fergie and just all of them are coming with Him. And we'll know them. So He says, go quickly. Go. They went in, looked, said, no, don't hang around here. No point in it. Don't stay. He didn't say this, but go quickly. Leave here. Go quickly. Tell his disciples that He is risen from the dead. Go tell His disciples. Go quickly. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. And there you shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. Everything He said up to that point was true, wasn't it? God's angels can't lie. Now, if God's got His hand on them or sent them, right? Lo, I've told you. Just told you what the Lord told me to tell you. Is He really going to be there? And we're going to look at this Wednesday night. I'm quitting. Wednesday night, we're going to look at how He's going to go before us to Galilee, and we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him. What Galilee? What's the significance of Galilee? He said that three times. Well, we'll see. You want to see? All right. You came seeking Christ crucified. I hope you saw Him. You want to see a living Lord and hear Him hail you? Then come Wednesday night. Hopefully. All right, Brother Gabe.
Let's turn to hymn number 62 and stand again. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. Hymn number 62.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity.
Third verse is the last.
Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for